Oh, wait till you find out what Greg told me today about how he eats mac and cheese. We'll get to that in a second.
Elsie,
you're going to be very disappointed is all I'm going to say. Because you and I have had very, very many mac and cheese conversations over the years. And you're just going to be like, you're just going to shake your head and be like, really? Really? This may be worse than the onion bagel, to be honest with you.
I may be disappointed in both of you. I think I'm going to be disappointed in both of you if this is real.
I don't even know what, you know, George can be referring to, but I do know you've disappointed me multiple times on the culinary front, so I'm just gearing myself up.
Yeah,
for
just
you
brace yourself.
Mac and cheese.
Brace yourself. Speaking of bracing yourself, I know we've talked about this for 3 days, but it is now official, sort of. The league and the Players Association have a tentative agreement, LZ, on coming back, which is good, right? 72 games. Mm-hmm. December 22nd, yep. We're all good. Now, let me ask you this. We both feel like the Lakers are at a bit of a disadvantage. We kind of talked about this a second ago during Purgatory. But just to add to that, so apparently LeBron James, perhaps you've heard of him, was on Instagram today watching SportsCenter. And when he was watching SportsCenter, they showed a graphic of the shortest off seasons in professional American sports histories, the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball, and the NFL. And the three shortest previous off seasons, all due to some sort of work stoppage, right, were all the NHL, the shortest of those three being 99 days, okay? The NBA is going to be 71 days from the day that the Lakers were crowned champion till the first game where they're going to play on opening night. So LeBron snapped a picture of it, put it on his Instagram story with the facepalm emoji on it. The previous shortest NBA season offseason was 127 days. It's going to be tough for these guys. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
Listen. They made the concessions based on the monetary, you know, reasons. So I'm sure he's just sort of, you know, joking. But it's going to be tough. And it isn't fair to the final four teams. But you know what? It's a pandemic. And there's a lot of things going on that isn't fair to a whole lot of people. And they just got to suck it up. I'm not thrilled about it. But I think in the larger picture of things, you know, buy some more Bengay, buy a couple more bags of ice, get some CBD creams, and get your ass out there and play ball. Like, it just is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I you know, we've talked about this, George. Bron is going to be 36. Mm-hmm. Father Time is undefeated. Yada, yada, yada. We know all the metaphors and analogies about age and athletes. We know all of that. But we also know that money talks. And there's, what was it, like a $500 million difference or something like that? What was the number? Do you remember the number? Between starting now and starting in January?
Well, it could be anywhere between $500 million and $1 billion.
Yeah. Like, facepalm, do all of that on Twitter, but on December 22nd, lace up.
Yeah. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it, right? You agreed to it, so you're ready to roll. You got to be ready to roll if that's the case. Who do you think this benefits the most? Because if I had to pick one team, it's the Warriors. So I ran into Draymond Green at that Clutch
with the
Pro
car?
Day. What's that?
I said with the new car from the Mazda?
No. I ran into Draymond Green at the Clutch Pro Day for Anthony Edwards. And I asked him. I said, dude, are you ready? He's like, man, I've been ready. He's like, my body has not felt this good in a really, really long time. Now, obviously, I would have liked for it not to have been this long or us to have been so bad. But they were the circumstances. And he said the 5 years, you know, as much fun as they were, it takes its toll, right? Like, 5 years is an incredible amount of time to be doing that, which is why we should really praise LeBron for doing that for eight straight years or whatever it is he did. But Draymond says he feels good. And he says that him and Clay and Steph all feeling good and they're ready to roll. I've talked to people about Clay recently. And they say Clay looks fantastic. And look, we saw Steph at the end of the year last year. I mean, he had them in games and winning games that they had no business winning. I mean, he was playing with a bunch of G League guys around him. So they're going to be good. Look, they're no longer the juggernaut Warriors, but they are absolutely going to be near the top. And I do think of all the teams that are out there, the layoff has benefited them the most.
Certainly them. I would also add in the Brooklyn Nets.
Right, because of KD and Kyrie, yeah.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Though, we don't know what that's going to be. You know, what we have is good on paper, but as we saw with the Clippers, just because you have talent on paper doesn't mean it's going to come into fruition, especially right. with a rookie head coach that they have in Steve Nash. So I would agree with you. Like, they have a championship coach. They got champion players. The original big three that they had of Dre, Clay, and Steph are all still together.
Right.
And while they're a little bit older, they're not older in today's, you know, athletic standards.
Yeah, they're still good enough to win a championship if things break their way and they make a deal and bring in some more veteran guys.
Exactly. What I don't think, though, is that at least based upon the current roster construction, that there'll be a problem for the Lakers because of AD.
So you just think AD is too much?
I think when it comes to their version of small ball, our small ball has a 7-footer.
Right.
Their small ball actually has a small dude. A short dude. I won't say Dre is small, but he's short.
Right.
And he never had bounce.
Right.
And he definitely doesn't have bounce now. So he's not going to interfere with
AD's shots. So they would need to make a move for someone with some size for you to feel like they could be someone that could push the Lakers.
Absolutely. I mean, right now, it's like the three-point shooting that, you know, really kind of anchored their offense and made them almost impossible. The league has caught up in a lot of ways.
Yeah, a lot of teams are doing that. I mean, hell, we saw the Heat do it basically throughout the playoffs.
Exactly. So even though they may be able to do it better, I don't know now that based upon the current roster construction that they're better is so much significantly better that
Correct.
Other teams don't have a chance.
Correct. Even though those two guys are the best backcourt we've ever seen,
yep.
Particularly from a shooting perspective.
From a shooting perspective, for sure.
But teams certainly have – a lot of teams have great shooting now, to your point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not as big a shock to the system when you see them as it would have been a couple of years ago.
I mean, think about it. The first time LeBron faced them was 2015,
right?
And those dudes are shooting from half court shots. Last I checked, LeBron is shooting half court shots now.
Right. So is Damian Lillard.
So is Damian Lillard.
CJ McCollum.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you know, it's kind of like Jerry curls. You know, once Michael Jackson got it, everyone got them.
Yeah.
Well, not everyone. Just you know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, I feel you.
Did you ever have a Jerry curl? Can you?
I don't think I could do it, but I mean, maybe if I got the right hair products.
You know, the S-curl or the Jerry
Some
curl?
Soul glow?
Some you know? Soul glow.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Let it shine through.
I think I'm going to watch Coming to America this weekend.
I want to watch. Yeah, but here's the problem with Coming to America. It's on TV a
Did
lot.
Did you say there was a problem to Coming to America?
I was just going to say this. The problem with Coming to America is that it's on TV a lot, except it's not with the cuss words. So you need to just go and get to like a streaming service to be able to watch it with the cuss words.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree with you. That boy good.
Yeah. And whatever happened to the second one? I mean, it's supposed to come out. Did they not get filmed because of COVID?
I was like, COVID, man. Anybody coming to America with COVID?
Yeah. Right. Though that could be an interesting storyline, actually.
Yes. If it helps at all, the release date on Wikipedia says that it's December 18th, 2020 for Coming to America.
Oh.
So it could be coming out soon.
It might. Yeah, because they were filming this. It was, the, you know, a number of years ago I talked to Arsenio and they were filming that.
Was he at the little pro day too with our Drake?
No. He was on a couple of years ago with us He was telling us he was getting ready to go film.
I hope they came to America.
Yeah.
They can't come to America.
Not anymore. Yeah,
Not anymore.
Right. Not right now. Nobody can come to America right now. So there's that. Bergman, who benefits the most of all the teams that are trying to compete with the Lakers? Who benefits the most from this short layoff because maybe they had a longer layoff or whatever your reasoning is?
So I thought it was going to be the Warriors like you guys were talking about, but LZ kind of convinced me otherwise. I think I'm going with the Nets and what they have over there with Kyrie and KD and DeAndre. So that one seems like the
best.
Why
are you throwing DeAndre's name?
It was nice of you to include DeAndre.
I know. Why'd you throw his name in there, dog? Come on.
Well, because he's still a big. He's a big.
Yeah, but he's not even better than Jared Allen. Like that. Like Jared Allen.
Well, fine. Then Jared Allen.
No, but Jared Allen, they don't even want him. Like they want DeAndre, which is the weird part. That's going to be something we're going to talk about during the season for sure. How DeAndre is so much worse than Jared Allen, but KD and Kyrie are friends with him and they're going to want him to play.
I was just thinking of the big, but yes.
Yeah. Not to mention the entire coaching staff is the Phoenix Suns.
Right. Right.
They don't need coaches there. Kyrie's the coach one day.
That's true.
Kyrie's the coach one day.
They didn't really need coaches. Yes.
My poor friend. Well, yeah. I'm happy that Steve gets an opportunity to be a head coach because I know that was something he wanted to do.
And I'm glad that he's got his guy with him in D'Antoni to kind of help him along a little bit too.
I'm glad with that too.
Yeah.
But ain't nobody on that coaching bench ready for what Kyrie's going to give him.
No, it's so crazy.
Is he
the dude, like if you had your pick of, like you could pick anyone you want in the league, right? Like that was like that technically played the point guard position.
Mm-hmm.
How many dudes are you taking before him? And not just because of the talent, but just because you don't want the headache.
Oh, man, maybe 20.
20?
Maybe to play point guard?
Yeah.
Not to be the superstar to carry my team, but to run the team?
Yeah, just to play guard. He's not point guard, but combo guard, whatever.
Man, I can probably rattle off 20.
Wow.
Would you want Jamal Murray ahead of him?
Hell yeah.
Top 30 Jamal Murray.
Hell yeah, that's not even a question.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, because you know when a timeout happens, you ain't got to deal with stuff like, well, you ain't really a coach. You know what I'm saying?
I already know what Laura's answer is going to be to Kyrie. If it would be, he needs a Latina.
I mean, you guys are getting to know me, so you're not wrong.
I mean, you said, who was it you kept saying that?
Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis.
Hey, he found one somewhere in the bubble. He was found.
Got a little picante to his meal.
Hey, man, you do get spice variety is the spice of life. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, mayo is good to calm things down, but if everything's calm, then it's just bland.
I am kind of anti-mayo, though. I feel like that would be, if I were running for office, it'd be like vote no on mayo 2020.
You know what? I want to be your running mate because I've never in my life, you know, in the condiment area when you grab like Dodger dogs, whatever.
Nope.
I've never grabbed a mayo packet in my life.
Never. Ketchup, mustard, whatever. But
I grab relish, which is disgusting in the package, by the way.
Yeah, I do not grab relish.
No. I've grabbed that and I still have never grabbed mayo.
Greg, you like mayo, I'm sure.
Absolutely not. It's disgusting.
Wow. Greg.
Yeah, see, we're back on the same page here.
Well, you get a virtual key just for that answer.
Speaking of which, don't forget the road trip destination. If you heard it in the Mason and Ireland show at 3 o'clock or in the 3 o'clock hour, in today's show, in the 5 o'clock hour, could be at 5:05, 5:10, 5:15, 5:20, 25, 30, 45, whatever. Yesterday we did it at 5:50, but it probably will be earlier today. FYI, it's usually in the commercial breaks, and we will give away another virtual key today because we're going to give away a brand new Mazda CX-5 Sport 2021, courtesy of our friends at Culver City Mazda, Sal Gonzalez and the guys there hooking us up, and your friends here at 710 ESPN. So make sure you're listening in the 5 o'clock hour, and you have that road trip destination from the Mason and Ireland show in the 3 o'clock hour that they gave away in the 3 o'clock hour. So listen for the cue to call in the 5 o'clock hour. All right, coming up next. Canelo Alvarez shocks the boxing world. LZ, you and I got to dive into this, and I need to hear from the audience on this. We'll get into all that in 2 minutes here on Sedano and LZ on 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Yep. Sedano and LZ with you here on 710 ESPN. So I want to get to Canelo here in a second and him sending shockwaves through the boxing world and what it means for the state of boxing, what it means for Canelo and all that stuff in general. But first, so I was talking to Greg Bergman earlier today before the show, LZ, and we were talking about mac and cheese for some reason. And he said something to the effect of that he eats mac and cheese with a spoon. And I said,
no.
What?
Whoa.
Wait, what?
No.
Whoa.
No. No. I said that my daughter eats mac and cheese with a spoon, and the kids eat it with a spoon, but I will only eat it with a fork.
Oh. Then I heard it wrong. It's not as funny that way. You should have just played up the bit.
I mean, I use a spoon. I use a spoon. Apparently.
It's too late.
Too late. Damn
it. Yeah, you killed it. It's over.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine him at Night at the Apollo? You get booed off.
Yeah.
Booed.
Yeah.
You and your chuckling man.
You can't misrepresent me. That's all
you
I'm
couldn't,
asking.
You couldn't just lean into the bit. You know what I'm saying? You couldn't just
I probably
lean into
could have. I could have on that one.
Yeah.
I eat it with a spoon.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. No, you don't. But I will say this, though. When Steve walked by and he heard George and I talking about it before the show.
He said
he does eat it with a spoon. Yeah. Now, first of all, Steve and I have been together for 11 years, and I've just realized I've never noticed which utensil he uses when he eats my mom's mac and cheese. Ooh. Now I'll be paying attention more closely going forward.
Yeah.
Also, it is so wrong to eat my mom's or anybody's mama's mac and cheese with a spoon, because that means it wasn't made right, didn't have the right noodles, there's not the right amount of cheese in it, because there's no way it is satisfactory to eat mac and cheese done right.
It's too gooey. Yeah.
With a spoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you have to have a fork. Like, I've never, listen, first of all, I came from a Cuban household, so Laura, let me ask you this. When was the first time you ate mac and cheese?
Ooh, as a kid.
Really? Because in my household, I didn't eat mac and cheese until I was like in elementary school, and that's because it was being served to me in elementary school.
Yeah, I was a kid.
Right. But in your house, did they ever make mac and cheese?
Yeah, the Kraft little box thing.
Really? And they did not in my house. Abuela was like, we ain't eating that.
Really? Both of my parents worked, and we didn't have, my grandparents were back in Mexico, so my sister would make that.
Okay. That's a different situation if your sister did. But Abuela would never let me eat mac and cheese.
Yeah,
she would
did.
Just what? Make something.
What?
Yeah, man.
Really?
Yeah. I'm curious. I don't
thought
know,
for sure I saw in Coco that there was mac and cheese. There was no Coco and mac and cheese?
I don't think so. I don't think there was any mac and cheese in Coco. I'm curious to see. Maybe there's a, you know, we could talk to our Latino brothers and sisters here. When was the first time they ate mac and cheese? Because I actually had this conversation with my sister the other day. We were laughing because my kids eat mac and cheese all the time. And she said, when was the first time you ate it? I said, easily like, I don't know, second, third grade. But only because it was being it was on the menu at when I was in school, when I was in elementary school. And that was just whatever they were serving. You know, Wednesdays was mac and cheese day, and, you know, Fridays is pizza day or whatever it was where I was going to elementary school.
Wait, the first time I had mac and cheese was in elementary school?
Yeah.
Like for lunch?
Absolutely, yes.
Oh, so you didn't actually have mac and cheese when you were young.
Right, it was that. And then I had mac and cheese as an adult at a restaurant. Yes.
In a restaurant?
Like what kind of restaurant? Did it have like nice linen on the table?
Yes, yes. Yes.
Oh God.
Yeah.
No. That's not mac and cheese.
Yeah. Well, no, I've eaten it at like some southern restaurants as well, like over the years. I haven't had it at like a soul food restaurant.
Okay, here's a very important question. When you went into the restroom of this restaurant with the mac and cheese, how many urinals were in the restroom?
Three.
Oh, God. It was not good mac and cheese. There's no way urinal restroom in a restaurant can give you good mac and cheese. No way.
So it needs to be a one urinal restaurant?
One urinal restaurant and a toilet.
Okay.
With dingy tiles. Don't forget dingy tiles.
Yeah. Well, no, definitely dingy tiles.
Okay, well, maybe if it's dingy tiles, maybe that's better.
I mean, they could just have more of the urinals, you know what I'm saying? So,
that's true. That's true. When it comes to mac and cheese, there are a few things that I will blow my diet up for. Mac and cheese is definitely one of them. Definitely one.
Yeah. Good mac and cheese, yes, for sure.
Good mac and cheese.
Yeah.
As long as it's not stovetop mac and cheese.
So let's get to Canelo Alvarez. What would you say Canelo Alvarez is in the dining? Like, what kind of cuisine would he be as far as a boxer?
Oh, he is fine dining.
Yeah, he is fine dining.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Not fine, fine.
Fine dining.
Fine. He is the sport's biggest name. He's his biggest draw right now. And he's probably pound for pound his best athlete, his best boxer.
Ooh, I would say Terrence Bud Crawford, but okay. But I think he's excellent, and I do think he's one of the biggest names in the sport. I will agree with that. He is now a free agent. He's been released from his Golden Boy contract and DAZN contract. What would you do next if you were him? Would you go join Floyd? Would you try to do your own thing? Do you go to Top Rank with Bob Arum? Like, what do you do if you're Canelo Alvarez? Because I do feel like this will change the boxing world some, and maybe for the better, LZ, because I think the biggest challenge we have when it comes to boxing is we don't get the fights we always want.
Well, that is certainly an issue when it comes to the sport, and I think that more than anything is the reason why it kind of fell from grace in terms of country's popularity, is that we weren't getting compelling matchups anymore. People, boxers, the athletes, their team were being a lot more strategic in terms of racking up wins against no-name, not-worthy opponents, as opposed to racking up compelling matches that could actually bring in a draw and keep the interest high. So if I were Canelo, I would probably want to do my own thing, because the DAZN, which I used to work for, and obviously the Golden Boy thing, didn't work out the way he wanted it to. They were always fighting about his new opponent, especially once he signed with DAZN. And I don't know if it was because, you know, he had a different sort of route he wanted to take to establish his legacy versus the companies. Mm-hmm. But if he does want to have, you know, control over who he sees next, then he's big enough and rich enough and worthy enough to have his own thing, that he doesn't need anybody else's umbrella.
Yeah. Do you think though that he is the big enough draw to do that on his own? Yeah. Because Floyd was. I mean, do you think he is?
Oh God, yeah. Absolutely. Canelo, Vegas. Yeah. I mean, like, now I don't know, you know, what he's like, say, like in you know, the UK, you know, that have their own, you know, grouping of boxers who, you know, dominate and draw huge numbers, you know, like Anthony Joshua filled up Wembley, right? Which is like a 100,000 stadium, but no one really knew who he was in the States.
Right.
So I don't know if Canelo can go over there and do the same thing. I don't know. You know, I don't have that background, that information. But I do know certainly if you wanted to have a fight in Mexico City, if you wanted to go in Vegas, sure, if you wanted to go into New York, if you wanted to go anywhere in Florida, like there are plenty of places he can go where he can have a huge draw. And if you wanted to go pay-per-view route, rack up Floyd-like numbers without having Floyd's name attached to the product.
Yeah. I'm just curious, though, like – Where is he fighting these days? Is he a super middleweight? Is he fighting as like a light heavyweight? Because he's fought in four different divisions, you know, in weight classes. So like, I just don't know where he goes to. I think that is also part of the problem, right? He's nowhere near being a heavyweight.
No.
So I think that becomes a challenge. And there's not a lot of great fighters, I believe, in the light heavyweight class. Maybe Gilberto Ramirez, like, but like, I don't know. I just don't think that there's a name brand opponent for Canelo, right? And I think that becomes the challenge.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
Gennady Golovkin, unless he wants to fight him again, right? But maybe one of the Charlo brothers, like, I don't know. Like, there's just not a lot there.
If you want to do real talk, like, did you see both fights?
I did, yes.
So we all know the first one wasn't a draw, right? Like, can we agree with that?
Yes.
Like, he lost the first one, right?
Right. Yeah. Golovkin won the first one, yes.
Yeah, he won the first one. They called it a draw, but he lost the first one. The second one, he was much better, but I still thought maybe it was a draw and not a clear-cut victory for him.
Right.
But what I do know from watching those fights is that Triple G's punches hurt.
Right.
And you could see in both matches that Canelo felt the impact of those punches.
No question about it.
So if they were to go part three, the question for Canelo was and still is, what's in it for me? How does this elevate my legacy? Because I'm going to get punished, one. And two, what am I trying to do with fighting him? I don't need to elevate my name. I don't need to, you know, risk losing it all by losing to him. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the gain by fighting Triple G other than it probably will bring in big bucks because a lot of people want to see it?
Yeah. Well, Max is supposed to join us shortly, so we can ask him. But if people want to weigh in, they can at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. So we'll take your calls. Laura will be there taking your calls and put you on in a second. We're going to expect Max to kind of join us here because we've reached out to him to kind of get his thoughts on all this stuff. But real quick, before that, let me tell you. I've told you already, 710 ESPN and our friends at Culver City Mazda, our buddy Sal Gonzalez, are hooking you up with the month of giving. You can drive away in a 2021 Mazda CX-5 Sport with a grand in the glove box. All you got to do is listen for the road trip destination of the day with Mason and Ireland in the 3 o'clock hour, and then listen to us in the 5 o'clock hour, And you'll hear the cue to call during that 5 o'clock hour if you're the seventh caller with the correct road trip destination from the 3 o'clock hour with Mason in Ireland. It qualifies you to get a virtual key that could start that 2021 Mazda CX-5 Sport from Culver City Mazda. Our buddy Sal Gonzalez and your friends here at 710 ESPN. All right, so we'll take your calls. Max should be joining us here in a little bit as well.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So, yeah, Max is going to join us here in a minute. We'll talk to him about this situation with Canelo because I just feel like, you know, I just don't know where the right opponent is for him. I mean, we could talk a lot of different things as to what he should do from a business perspective. I mean, I don't know, LZ. I mean, Top Rank seems to have a lot of the great boxers right now, you know?
I mean, they do. They do. And obviously they have the infrastructure. And whenever you're trying to, you know, go out on your own, you're in – you know, taking on all those costs and the hard work of trying to put this thing together more on your own than if you just plug in with someone. But you also get all of the money, right? Or more of the money, theoretically speaking. Mm. And he didn't like the way that, you know, Golden Boy was treating him with, you know, trying to match him up with an opponent and all that stuff. And he obviously didn't like what DAZN was trying to do with him in terms of matching him up with opponents or rejecting the opponents he wanted to take on. So if you want to have more control over your career, the best thing to do is be entrepreneurial about it.
Right.
And just establish your own thing.
Right.
And when you look at the relationship he has with the young boxers like Ryan Garcia, it's not as if he won't be able to, you know, bring in other boxers once he's established his own thing. I could certainly see like a Ryan Garcia saying, I'm gonna rock with him because that's my raw dog and we roll together. I could see him doing that.
Yeah, I am curious to see, you know, like where he goes next, what he does. I just think that taking on your own business venture, if you're Canelo Alvarez, there's a risk with that, I think. Like there is an inherent risk, right?
I mean, yeah, but there's a inherent risk for everybody who wants to be entrepreneurial. But guess who took the risk on?
Yeah.
You know, Floyd took it on.
Floyd took it on, for sure. He did. Let's talk to Max about this. So Max Kellerman, you can catch him on First Take each and every morning on ESPN at 7 a.m. And, of course, the Max Kellerman Show, where Raj makes a lot of mistakes, but the show is still fantastic. But you can hear that here on this station at 11 a.m. How many mistakes a day does Raj make, Max, before we talk boxing with you?
The things I do for my friends on a Friday night at 7:45 Eastern, with you guys, look at me driving my car, picking up my girl from basketball practice. Let's start talking about that a little bit. What don't I deserve a lot of credit for calling?
You deserve a ton of credit. All right, hold on, ready? Let's do it. Hold on. Let's do a chant together. Ready on three. Thank you, Max.
Max.
Thank you, Max.
Thank you, Max.
Thank you, Max. All right, is that good enough?
I think that could really catch on. Yes. Raj is challenged in certain respects. And when you see the size of his forehead, you would think his frontal lobes would be more developed, in fact, than they are. But it is what it is.
Yeah, no question. All right. No question about it.
So,
all right.
No one is surprised, right, that the marriage dissolved between, you know, Golden Boy and Canelo and obviously DAZN because it went to court, right? And usually once you go to court, you don't come out happy on the other side. The question is, what does Canelo do next, Max?
Well, I don't think Canelo really needs to be with a promoter. I think Canelo should, you know, I understand if someone comes to him with the enormous guarantee, as DAZN supposedly did, right? Here's $360 million, a dollar for every day of the year, right? $1 million for every day of the year. Then I get it. But otherwise, why does he need to sign some kind of big deal? He can go one-offs. Canelo's a pay-per-view attraction. He's one of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world. There are plenty of guys for him to fight across various platforms. Why should he tie himself down to one?
So you're saying that he doesn't necessarily need to even establish his own promotion company. He can just do one-offs without ever having to do all that overhead of having his own company.
Right. Well, the thing about, I mean, there are lots of options. Promotional company is the, you know, like the Oscar De La Hoya model back in the day was, hey, I'll fight for you once a year on pay-per-view. And now I want all these dates for my fighters, right? I want 12 or 14 dates for Golden Boy fighters in exchange for me fighting on pay-per-view for you. But right. So that's the basic exchange. So that could help build a promotional company, as De La Hoya did. But you don't have to do it that way, especially nowadays. There's so much inventory necessary for all these outlets. ESPN has a million dates. DAZN needs all this inventory, or it doesn't exist, really. Fox and Showtime have all these dates. So those kind of dates for promotional entities are not as valuable, I don't think, as they once were. And, you know, as a result, he may not want to do it, or if he is interested in promoting fighters, he can.
Who do you want to see him fight, Max?
Oh, there are a lot of guys. I'd like to see him fight either Charlo brother. I'd like to see him fight Triple G in a third fight.
Really?
I'd like to see him fight Demetrius Andrade. Just think Andrade Ooh. Really has not been, he's kind of been ignored. You know, and it's the old thing, well, his style is not as exciting, which is true. Andre does not have a very exciting style. And part of boxing is, you know, do you put the meat in the seats? But on the other hand, it's also an athletic competition. And so it should be meritocratic in some way, you know, and certainly Andre is, you know, presents real problems for Canelo in the ring. I'd love to see Canelo, since he went up to light heavyweight to fight Kovalev, go back up and fight better BF. That'd be a war, and their styles match perfectly. Canelo has, like, endless possibilities.
Do you feel, and I'm all with you on Demetrius Andrade. I've talked to him numerous times about Canelo. He wants that payday more than anything, and he firmly believes that, you know, Canelo's people have scouted him out, and they feel that he will beat him, and that's the reason why they keep, quote-unquote, ducking him. I don't know about all that, but I do think that the style thing is an issue in terms of trying to sell the fight. But I like Dmitry Bivol, too. Seen him fight a few
really
times.
Good.
I'm sorry?
Bivol is really good, I think, with a bad style for Canelo, because Bivol can box and move. And it's not the right style for Canelo Alvarez, especially because Bivol, you know, Canelo doesn't have any size advantage. Bivol is a naturally larger guy, or at least he's campaigned in heavier weight divisions, and he's very athletic and very skilled. So it's not a great styles matchup for Canelo.
Max Kellerman with us here. Don't forget, First Take each and every morning at 7 a.m. on ESPN Television and the Max Kellerman Show here on this station at 11 a.m. Despite the fact that Raj is trying to sabotage him on a daily basis, still an excellent show. So what weight class do you think he's best in? I mean, he's 1-4 of them. So which is the weight class that you think he's best at? Is it just, you know, because he recently fought, I believe light heavy. He's fought super middle, right? Middleweight is his, I'd be like, that's his traditional weight class. Where do you think he's best at?
I think he's a middleweight. I think, by the way, Callum Smith would be a really good fight at 168 pounds, right?
Didn't he pull out of a proposed fight?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you, LG.
I thought he pulled out of a proposed fight because of COVID.
With whom? With Callum Smith?
Yeah.
Well, this is the problem this was the problem with DAZN. DAZN was telling Canelo, hey, we gave you this $35 million, whatever it was, per guaranteed fight for premium opponents. And Callum Smith's not a premium opponent. But Callum Smith is a premium opponent. He's the middleweight in the world. He's undefeated. He's really good. You know, that whole Smith, you know, family fights, and he's the best one. So opponent, because DAZN said a premium opponent is someone who will bring extra subscriptions to DAZN above and beyond just a regular Canelo fight. But that's kind of absurd, right? Because if they could do that, like Golden Boy gets the $35 million, they have to pay Canelo. They want to pay the opponent as little as possible. If the opponent were bringing subscriptions just on their own, they wouldn't be like, you know, you can't give them $5 million. You got to give them some kind of huge guarantee, and then there's no money in it for the promoter, right? So it was never going to work out. And really what happened was DAZN got buyer's remorse because COVID was hard on everybody and they were looking for a way out of the contract, it seems to me.
Hmm. Do you think because of like the dynamics we're talking about, right? Who's a good matchup for him? DAZN or Golden Boy or whatever promotion companies helping to decide what opponents should be there for monetary reasons. Do you think all the business of boxing has undermined the reason why, or at least is the reason why boxing has lost its place in terms of popularity in this country?
I think it's a very, boxing, it's very complicated to explain why it's been marginalized. The best way I could explain it is to say that, like, if you use game theory, if you set up a game where everyone is incentivized to always look after their short-term interests, that will often be at odds with the long-term health of the kind of collective, in this case, the sport. And that's how boxing is set up. Boxing is structurally a bunch of more or less independent contractors looking out, incentivized to look out for their own short-term interests. And that's like the simplest way to explain it.
Where is he in your pound-for-pound rankings?
Canelo is 3 in my rankings.
Who are the top 2?
Number 1 is Terrence Crawford. Sorry, you know what? Canelo is 2 right now because Lomachenko lost.
Right.
Canelo's 2, yep.
Okay, fair enough. Before we let you go, on First Take today, your cohort and colleague Stephen A. Smith said that the Lakers basically have no chance against the new Warriors, or the old Warriors in essence. Where do you lie on that?
The Lakers have no chance against who?
He said that the Lakers aren't going to be better than the Warriors this upcoming season.
No, actually what we were talking about was who is best equipped to beat the Lakers. I don't think Stephen Wright took them to beat the Lakers. He said the Warriors, and I think ultimately it will be the Warriors because they have a good front office. I don't know if Wiggins has trade value. Maybe he does. And they have a very high draft pick that they can also trade, and I suspect they're going to bring someone in, not just use the draft pick. But at this moment, as is currently constructed, I think the Nuggets have the best chance because you have 3 ascending players. 2 of them played in the playoffs like MVPs. Jokic is only 25. Murray's only going to be 23. And Porter can really can't play defense. He can really score. He's 21. So when you think, project where they're all going to be if they're healthy by the playoffs next year, I think they pose the biggest threat. But Stephen A. likes the Warriors because Clay and Steph can shoot the lights out.
Well, I'll just let you know before we let you go that the Thank You Max chant is already being created as a promo. So there you go. It'll be a promo that will run all day and for weeks.
I pick my daughter up from basketball practice, and it's on the Lower East Side, right, in Manhattan. And it's a Friday night in the city, I'm dealing with traffic and talking to you fools. I missed my exit 3 times. I'm going to be 5 minutes late. Not just Thank You, Max, but there needs to be some kind of extra token of appreciation.
No. You don't get extra tokens of appreciation
thank
because
you, Max.
You've
Max.
Lost your New
thank
Yorker
you,
attitude.
Max. Thank you, Max.
All right, good enough.
Thank you, Max. There it is. You got your own chant, Max. Come on. Thank you for hanging out. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Saxy Maxie.
All right. See you. There he is, Max Kellerman. Max Kellerman Show, 11 a.m. Play it one more time for everyone, Laura. Thank you, Max.
Max.
Thank you, Max.
Thank you, Max.
Thank you, Max. There it is. Every morning at 11 a.m. on this station before Mason and Ireland write into us. Don't go anywhere. We will hear Stephen A. say that the Warriors have the best chance to beat the Lakers in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo. Play it safe, good times. Thanks to Max Kellerman for joining us there just a moment ago. Impromptu, just random. And that also was brought to you by Morongo. Play it safe, good times. So, LZ, Alex Cora rehired by the Red Sox. Your thoughts?
I thought he was punished.
He was. He served his year suspension.
He served his year suspension, huh? Pandemic said 60 games and then World Series. So what was it, like 90 games max that he missed? So he was suspended for like half a season.
I mean, but the calendar says he was suspended for a season.
I'm like, you know what? I'm upset at Alex Cora for what he did, his contribution to the cheating, but not nearly as mad as I am with the players. So, he's back, whatever. Baseball, you know, is better for it only because I feel from a managerial perspective, you need more diversity at that helm, and Alex Cora fits the bill, and he's talented, and he's won, so fine.
Yeah, I'm a fan of his work over the years. He was very highly regarded for a very long time. There are a lot of people in baseball that vouch for him despite what's happened to him. I'm talking about players.
No, it didn't happen to him. It wouldn't happen to him.
No, whatever happened. Right, yeah. Whatever happened. There are still a lot of players in that sport and other coaches and managers and front office types that will vouch for him. And I think that says something about him, right, and the job that he is capable of doing, right? You know my position. I don't like to judge people by their worst moment. And that is clearly his worst moment because he hasn't
but
had –
it wasn't a moment. It was a whole season.
Right. Well,
it's not
again,
a moment. It was very dashy.
Right. I get it. But the worst moment is the fact that it came to light is what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. I
got it. So, and I think that, look, LZ, the whole sport is predicated on cheating. Like, let's not act like these guys haven't been stealing signs for 100 years. You know what I mean? They just took it to a different level and used technology, which is the terrible. That was terrible. No question.
But terrible.
The stealing, the ethics of baseball, like that's a joke because there are no ethics in baseball.
I would agree with that. Yeah. I would agree with that. And chances are if I wasn't a Dodger fan, I probably wouldn't care.
Right. Exactly. Right. And then lastly, speaking of the Dodgers, and by the way, you're listening to KSB in Los Angeles, Trevor Bauer put on Twitter that he may pick his next team based on how many new Twitter followers he gets from a specific location. What say you, LZ?
I love it.
It's good marketing.
It's great marketing.
Yeah.
It's great marketing. Then you flip all those followers and you start marketing things like Manscaped and stuff.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Though be careful. That got some people in trouble here recently, promoting Manscaped on their Twitter. Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. Now, his problem was he actually did it on like an NFL Network set or something like that, which, yeah, that's probably a terrible idea.
What did he do? Like start shaving himself or something?
No, like, he just did like a promo. He held the thing up. He did not shave himself on camera, but he did it while he was sitting on an NFL Network set. It's like, dude.
Dude, that's aggressive.
Yeah. I can see old Raj not happy about that. But anyway, that's what you need to know. Presented by Morongo. Play it safe. Good times. So, LZ, we were just talking to Max at the end there about what him and Stephen A. were talking about. Mm-hmm. And I misinterpreted it because of the title on Stephen A.'s Twitter, which is where he posted it, where he said, what did he say, Greg, exactly? Just because I know that you've already read what he said. What did he say on his Twitter?
He said that I put it away, but he just basically said that the Warriors have the best chance to dethrone the Lakers.
You have been a disaster today, Greg, when I tossed to you. You ruined the bit earlier about mac and cheese, and now – all right. So
this is not even a damn discussion. The Warriors have the best shot to dethrone the Lakers in the West, and we all know why.
Yeah. There you go.
But why?
Yeah. So let's hear it why. Go ahead, Laura. Play it.
But in terms of the direct question, who has the best shot to knock off the Lakers – it will be the Golden State Warriors for a simple reason. It doesn't need to be complicated like some people might try to make it. They have the greatest shooting backcourt known to man. There has never been anybody, a backcourt in NBA history, that can shoot like these brothers, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. I don't give a damn if it's Dennis Johnson and downtown Freddie Brown or Gus Johnson. I don't give a damn if it's Magic and Michael Cooper. I don't give a damn or Magic and Byron Scott or Magic and Norm Nixon before Byron Scott. I don't give a damn if it's Isaiah Dumars. I don't care what you come up with, Stockman, Hornacek. It don't matter. There has never, and I repeat, ever been a backcourt that can shoot the way those brothers can shoot. It is that simple to me. And I'm not bringing in any other elements, Max. I know that Clay plays defense. I think that he's a great all-around player. He's a surefire first ballot future Hall of Famer, one of the top five shooters in NBA history as far as I'm concerned. I know all that. I'm strictly talking about the ability to shoot the basketball.
That's just so wrong.
You don't think so? You think? I mean, Max says it's the Nuggets.
Here's the deal, and this gets overlooked all the time. It wasn't necessarily just the shooting that made their five-year run so dominant. Their underestimated defense,
yes, was excellent.
Was excellent.
Yeah,
and we don't talk about it because we get enamored with their shooting,
right?
But the defense was the real reason why they were so tough.
Yeah, Andre Iguodala, still very much capable of playing 25, 30 minutes a night, was involved with that group, right? Obviously, Draymond and Clay, they had, KD, obviously. But even before KD, like Andrew Bogut was an excellent defender.
Yes, their defense was fantastic. It was so hard to get easy buckets. And then once they forced you into a bad shot, then the shooting came into play. But the shooting alone wasn't it. Because scoring doesn't win you championships.
Yeah. All right, let's open it up. 877-710-ESPN. Who does have the best chance or the best shot to potentially dethrone the Lakers? Like, if you're looking at the West, who is the team that you're like, that's the team that I feel like we're going to match up against in the conference finals? Is it the Warriors? Is it the Nuggets? Is it the Clippers? Do you still think it's the Clippers? Because I would probably still say it's the Clippers.
Well, yes, and it starts again with what? Defense.
Right.
They have two excellent defensive wings who also are fantastic scorers. But I would keep saying this until I'm blue in the face, which is really hard because I'm black. Defense is what wins championships. The Lakers won their championship, our championship, because of our defense.
Correct. 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 877-710-ESPN. Let's go to Jake in LA. I believe he still wants to talk about when we were talking about Canelo and boxing with Max. But feel free to go that direction as well. What's up, Jake?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Hey, miss you on the zone, LZ, but you're doing so much these days that I get it that you're not.
Thanks,
there
brother.
Anymore, but I'm glad you guys got Max on here in his element. But boxing talk on ESPN LA, man, you know Michael Thompson is somewhere out there listening, just dying to get on so he can play matchmaker.
Oh, man.
There's no question.
We should have called MT. You're so right. I'm so sorry about that.
Yeah.
You know he's going to have something to say about that. But anyway, man, Canelo, I think he's big enough to do his own thing. And taking network deals on a fight-by-fight basis is going to allow him to fight whoever he wants. And obviously DAZN was in the subscriber-building business, as you guys know. Looking probably more for, like, the crossover events with Miami's own Jorge Masvidal of the UFC. But Canelo's 30. He's still trying to establish his legacy. So I think if he's trying to get in there December 19th, I like him versus Caleb Plant. I think that's a good stylistic matchup. If you're a true fan of the Sweet Science, that's great. But, you know, also what would be cool is if we're still looking at socially distant events in 2021, how about Canelo versus David Benavidez on Cinco de Mayo at SoFi? I mean, I think that's a pretty cool thing with that the Oculus to have a boxing event there.
That would be fantastic. Let me ask you real quick, though. You know, George mentioned it, and we all know this fight will be popular, if even though there may not be anything to come out of it in terms of winners. Would you like to see Canelo fight Triple G for a third time?
I personally would, just because for a casual fan, you could still say so many people were watching that fight and going,
yeah,
there's no way that Canelo won more than once. Like he obviously he's 1-0-1, right? But like, I'm in agreement with you guys.
The first fight he lost, yes.
He lost.
Yeah, the first fight he lost. I mean, Adelaide Byrd, that scorecard was atrocious. But, it is what it is. I think, a third fight would make a lot of money. But like you said, he's got a different kind of power with Triple G and that age as well. So even if Triple G's up there in age, you still don't want to get hit with that. You are the gold producer of boxing. You don't necessarily need to fight a guy like Triple G anymore. There's so many guys. Even maybe Errol Spence Jr., if he can come back from his car crash and us something, he's got the frame to fight at 160.
Well, that was 2 years ago, right? He should be better by now, right?
Yeah, for real. Jake, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Appreciate it.
Take care. Let me grab Juan in L.A. Juan, what's up?
Yo, gentlemen, good evening. And, yeah, the mac and cheese. I'm with you, Sedano. It took me later on in life, later than you, to have some of that mac and cheese. And it was at a barbecue spot, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I just didn't. Listen, my abuela did not. She was hardcore Latina, Cuban. There was no mac and cheese in my household ever until I didn't have it until I was in school. So there you go.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it has to have that little crust on top. That's all I got to say. And about the mayonesa, no, man, I can't mess with the mayo either, man. That's like, it reminds you of too much, man. No, that's okay. Ixnay on the mayonesa. And as about Canelo, I'm with, LZ. Yeah, I like to see a third fight, you know. Why not? Why not see a third one? You see threes on everything, man. So, and I just, when you hear Max Kellerman, I don't know if you know this, but when he came to L.A., he was like a schlep rock. You know what a schlep rock is, right? Back in the Simpsons days, yeah. A schlep rock. Schlep rock was that bad luck kid that always came out. That's Max Kellerman. So now he came on your show, and I don't know, man. They sent him to New York, and now he's back. So I don't know. Hopefully, it doesn't leave no, you know. And then they sent LZ. I mean, they sent Keyshawn to New York, so. Maybe all of that is a switcheroo on the bad juju.
The Kellerman curse. I mean, look, I listen, Juan, and thank you for the call. Have a great weekend. The Kellerman curse is now gone. The Mason curse is now gone. And I think you and I, LZ, really ended all of that, to be honest with you.
I didn't want to brag about it. You know, we'll just point out the schedule, right? Key and Max and, you know, Ireland and Mace. Like, they're all here first, right? Mm-hmm. And there were no chips.
None.
And then we come in, and we've run out of shelves.
Right.
So, yeah. I don't want to say it's us, but the time is interesting.
Yeah.
The timing is interesting.
Maybe we should start a thank you, George and LZ.
You know, I was actually thinking we should package our little act up and take it on the road, you know. Yeah. What other city could use a championship?
I mean, I kind of like it here, though. I don't want to be – and it's COVID. I ain't traveling.
Well, I didn't want to go far. I was just thinking like Anaheim or Long Beach or something like that. I wasn't planning on going too far.
There you go. Well, the Angels almost went to Long Beach, so there's that.
Yeah. If we show up in Anaheim, they'll at least make the playoffs. If we show up in Anaheim, they'll be 500. How about that?
Yeah, for sure. Hey, listen, don't forget this hour, we're going to give you a chance to win a car. Yeah, you heard it right. 710 ESPN and your friends at Culver City Mazda, our buddy Sal Gonzalez, we're hooking you up. Drive away in a 2021 Mazda CX-5 Sport with a grand in the glove box. All you got to do is listen to the road trip destination of the day with Mason and Ireland in the 3 o'clock hour, which you already did, I'm sure. And then, in this 5 o'clock hour, each and every weekday, okay, you listen to the cue to call, and when you hear that cue to call in the 5 o'clock hour, each and every weekday here on this show, you're the 7th caller with the correct road trip destination from the 3 o'clock hour of Mason and Ireland, and that qualifies you to get you a virtual key that could start that 2021 Mazda CX-5 Sport from our friends at Culver City Mazda. So that's happening any moment, so stick around. Here's a little hint. It's going to happen in the commercial break.
What?
Maybe not this one, but maybe the next one. I don't know. You got to find out. All right. Let me grab another caller real quick, and then we'll go to break, and we got to go to traffic with Karen. But first, who do I got? Who do I got? Who do I got? Who do I got? Jay in San Pedro. Jay, what's up?
Jay?
Let me go to Jason in Downey. Jason.
So, for some reason, I am still hearing from Clippers fans, so the Lakers won the chip without even facing the Clippers. So, I think they still are the biggest threat because, I mean, when you got Kawhi Leonard, you know, you can't deny the game. So they're the biggest threat, but this is the year that we have to see them in the Western Conference Finals. We need to exonerate that, and we need to just continue to add to the Clippers.
Why?
I don't know. It's just, that way they have nothing to say.
No, but I'm with him. I'm with Jason, okay? You play them in the Conference Finals, you beat them, and you end the nonsense once and for all.
You guys, no. We didn't duck them. They weren't good enough.
No one is saying they ducked them. What I'm saying, what people are saying is by happenstance that they didn't have to face them. So because of that, now I think they should face each other. That way we can settle this. And that's it.
I just really think that's garbage. I really do. It's like, we ain't never won anything ever. But because you didn't face us in the Western Conference Final, somehow your championship, your number 17 championship, is somehow not as good. Are you kidding me?
We ain't,
you ain't never won nothing, but we got to prove ourselves by beating
you? Yeah, but here's what? No, no one is. No, I don't say you have to prove it. I just said let's just settle it. Okay, it's like the schoolyard bully. The schoolyard bully out there wants to pick on you for some reason. So you're going out there and you take them out. You punch them in the mouth, and that's the end of the story. And by the way, if you do beat them, there's a good chance both those dudes leave, and then you really put them in a bind.
But here's the deal, though, guys. We're actually the bully.
I get that, LZ. In this, but they're not. The Lakers aren't the bully. They don't need to be the bully because they've got lineage, right? Like they've got history, right? They're a legacy. You know what I mean? You know when you're like you go to a school and you're like part of the legacy. That's what the Lakers are. The Clippers are the new kid bully. Like they just want to be the hot shot, and that's what you got to do. You want to knock them out, just take them out of their misery if that's the case. So let's go. Let's see them play against each other. That's what all the NBA wants anyway. All right, we got a break because we're way over. 877-710-ESPN. We'll take your calls on Canelo. We'll take your calls on this whole who do you want the Lakers to see? As Stephen A. says, it should be the Warriors. Max says it should be the Nuggets, that the Nuggets are the team that could help, that could potentially dethrone the Lakers. We'll take your calls on all that in a second. Plus, we got some football stuff to get to as well. And don't forget, we're giving away a damn car.
Woo-woo!
Oh, and the Dodgers. Look, we got some good Dodgers stuff.
We're giving away the Dodgers too?
No, we're not giving them away. We got Dodgers stuff to get to.
Oh, okay.
All right. So, but first –